This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters Podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
And it's great to be back. Ryan, it feels like we haven't been here in a while.
It does feel that way.
It feels like we just did the international conference, and then, well, we did the interview with President...
John Lau?
John Lau. Yep. I was going to say Johnny Yui. It's like, no, that was a couple of presidents ago.
Different John.
And then, but we're back here, and it's great to be back. Ryan, we are speaking with a very exciting and interesting guest today. Why don't you tell our listeners who it is?
Susan Cain is featured in the December 2012 issue of the Toastmaster magazine in an article entitled "The Power in Being Who You Are." Susan was a featured speaker at TED 2012 in Long Beach, California. She's a former Toastmaster and the author of the nonfiction New York Times bestselling book, Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. The video of Susan's TED Talk has received over 3 million views and counting. Susan Cain, welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast.
Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you, Bo and Ryan. It's so great to be here.
Great to have you with us, Susan. Your topic is one that has certainly struck a chord with a lot of people, if the number of views of your TED Talk is any indication, which we know it is. But I thought maybe to start off, could you share with us, just to make sure everyone's kind of on the same page, the basic definition or contrast between introverts and extroverts?
Yeah, and you know, and it's really important what the distinction is, because people tend to assume being an introvert means being a hermit who lives alone in the woods or, you know, otherwise antisocial. And it's really not that at all. The difference between introverts and extroverts is how you respond to stimulation. So introverts feel that they're most alive and they're most energized when they're in environments that are where there's kind of less stimulation coming at them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, socially, they prefer they can be very warm, they can be very loving, they can be very social, but they usually prefer to interact in environments that are just lower key, you know, like a glass of wine with a close friend, as opposed to being at a big party where you're meeting lots of people all at once. And extroverts really need large amounts of stimulation to feel at their best, and if they don't get enough of it, they crave it and they start feeling bored and agitated and restless. So, you know, so that's why an extrovert is very happy going out to a party and meeting lots of new people, because there's a lot of stimulation coming at them. You know, again, it's the difference is not how much you like other people, but rather how you like to interact with them.
Right. Now, Susan, there's not a lot of clear demarcation between the two, is there? I mean, sometimes people could be like somewhere in the middle, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there really are some people who are just smack in the middle of the spectrum, as you're saying, the introvert-extrovert spectrum. And in psychology, those people are actually called ambiverts. They have their own special name. You know, even for those of us who really feel as if we are at one end of the spectrum or the other, we still have some of the other in us. You know, so I consider myself an introvert, but there's some situations where if you met me and you didn't know, you might think I was an extrovert, even though I really am not. And vice versa, you know, even somebody who's quite extroverted still has their moments where they want to, you know, be in solitude.
Gotcha. Kind of. So when somebody says that they're usually an introvert, it means basically that they're usually an introvert, but of course, according to the situation, they can be one or the other or both.
Right, exactly.
Susan, I'm also wondering, we just talked about how there can kind of be a balance in the amount of introversion and extroversion that someone has over the course of someone's life, or changes in lifestyle, age. Do you think that balance can shift, not just in the moment, but kind of, you know, does everybody have sort of a given allotment of introversion or extroversion, or is that dynamic? Can that change?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In general, as people grow older, I mean, we know from the research that as people grow older, most people become more introverted with age. So, and yet you kind of keep your rank order compared to other people. So what I mean by that is, like, if you think back to your high school, if you were, let's say, the 10th most extroverted person in your high school class, and then you went to your 50th year reunion, you'd probably still be the 10th most extroverted person, or more or less, you know. Right. But all of you would have grown more introverted with time. So that's kind of the primary shift. But then on the other hand, you know, people do gain all kinds of social skills as they grow. So you might still remain an introverted person who prefers less stimulation coming at you, but you might be extremely socially skilled as you grow older. So, you know, when you go to a party, you have no problem with the kinds of social fluidity that is required of you. But you might still feel kind of worn out at the end of the party, and like you really want to go home and recharge your batteries.
Sure.
And similarly, I should say, you know, extroverts also acquire the social skills they, or let's say the personal skills they need with time to be more introverted. You know, an extroverted child might have a lot of trouble sitting still and doing their homework, but as they grow older, they might not have a problem forcing themselves to sit down for 4 hours and crank out a memo, even though that's not their nature to do that.
Gotcha. You know, I think we touched on this a little bit, but I've been thinking back to some of my social situations, and I feel like I do adjust on where I am on that scale based on who I am with. So it seems like the social situation and the people that I'm with, if I'm with introverts that are a lot more introverted than I am, then I become the extrovert. However, if I have that same personality, but in a group with more extroverts, I am the introvert. So isn't it relative to the people that you're
around? It's all relative. You're right. It's really relative to who you're with. And then there's a phenomenon, you know, that many introverts will say when they're with extroverts, it kind of brings them out more, you know, because they're sort of instinctively mirroring what the extroverts are doing. And so then they get kind of more hyped up themselves. So it can work both ways.
Right.
And then extroverts also will often say when they're with introverts that they feel more more comfortable and more allowed to speak about more serious, more weighty subjects.
Right.
So, you know, often like introverts like being with extroverts because it makes them lighter, and extroverts like being with introverts because it allows them to be heavier. So I think there's a mutual attraction that often goes on.
Interesting. Susan, what data do you have in terms of sort of the ratio of introverts to extroverts in the general population?
Well, you know, it's really surprising, actually, because I think most people intuitively assume that introverts make up just, you know, a very small fraction of the population, and that's not true. According to the most recent wide-scale study, it's actually 50% of the population, so we're half introverts and half extroverts. The study before that found that introverts made up a third of the population, so I think it's safe to say introverts are a third to a half, you know, so it's one out of every two or three people you know.
Gotcha. Now, when we're talking about the population, are we just talking about the American population? Because obviously this probably changes across cultures.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So those studies were done in the U.S., but there have been other studies that have compared country by country. And generally, the U.S. is among the more extroverted countries in the world. So if you figure we have a third to a half introverts in the U.S., you can assume it's at least that much in other countries.
Now, does this have something to do with the individualistic culture?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a smart question. Yeah, it's a funny thing, you know. Yes, because we're such an individualistic culture, what goes along with that is it's a culture that says the squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know, that you have to be loud and charismatic and magnetic in order to stand out and pursue your individual goals. Whereas if you look at more collectivist societies, particularly in the Far East, they're oriented around the group, which sounds on its face more like extroversion. But what that means is that these are cultures that really care about the group getting along and about group harmony. And so for each individual within that group, those individuals are supposed to be more quiet and more reserved so that they're not threatening the group harmony. So there's a real clash that goes on often when you have people from the West and people from the Far East working together or living with each other. They really need to understand where each or the other is coming from. And, you know, you see all the time the classrooms in California in particular that have high populations of Asian students, there's often this feeling of the Western teachers are saying, well, why aren't these students participating more? Why aren't they raising their hands more?
Right.
But from the perspective of the Asian students, they feel like if they raised their hand more or participated more, that would be rude and disruptive to the classroom.
Right.
So, you know, these are really profound impulses that are rooted in our cultural heritage.
Right. Well, let's talk about the extroversion, introversion, along with success, or at least what normally in the American culture we perceive as success. Is there any correlation between extroversion and success or introversion and success?
Well, you know, it's tricky because we, on the one hand, we know that extroverts are much more often groomed for leadership positions because they conform to what we expect of a leader, you know, being kind of the out front dominant person who's out there leading the charge. But in reality, we also know from this groundbreaking research that was done by Adam Grant at the Wharton School, he found that introverted leaders in some situations deliver better outcomes than extroverts do. So, and this I think is why, despite the findings I had just told you about extroverts more often being groomed for leadership, this is why when you look at the ranks of who the actual leaders are, you surprisingly find a lot of really inspiring introverts out there. You know, from Larry Page at Google to Marissa Mayer at Yahoo. And then if you look at some of the most transformative leaders of the 20th century, like people like Gandhi and Rosa Parks and Eleanor Roosevelt, they were introverts also. So it turns out there's a lot of different styles of being successful and being effective. And we tend to think that the extroverted model is the only style on offer, and it's a quite wonderful style. But there are other ways of getting to success as well.
Good. So the point being, if you're an introvert, don't throw in the towel.
Oh, gosh. No, not at all. And you know, and what I would say, actually, is in whatever field you're in, you know, to really try to look around you for role models of people who are like you, who have your kind of style, and you'll find them, and I think they'll inspire you. Hmm. You know, and I can tell you, when I started public speaking, I did that because I kind of had this idea that to be a good public speaker, you had to be a natural show person, and I'm not that, and I never will be that. So I looked around, and I saw people like Malcolm Gladwell. He was very inspiring for me. He's a great writer, and he's a world-class public speaker. And he has a very, you know, kind of reserved, thoughtful style on stage, and it works. Hmm. And it was really helpful to me to see a model of that and to know that how successful that could be. So I would encourage people to do that in whatever field they're in.
Great.
Susan, along these lines, as well as along the lines of your book, Quiet, which is about the power of introverts, what are the advantages that introverts bring, not just to the world, but maybe more specifically to the marketplace?
Well, I mean, there's so many, actually, but I'll talk about one in particular, and that is creativity. You know, we live in a world that is really concerned, particularly now, with innovation and how to sustain innovation for the economy. And we actually know, if you look at, when psychologists look at who the most creative people have been across a broad variety of fields, you almost always find people with serious streaks of introversion, people who are comfortable going off by themselves to go off and think. And these people are usually extroverted enough that they can go out and exchange ideas and advance their ideas and promote them, because that's important too. But these are people who really crave large blocks of solitude. And, you know, I'm talking about everybody from Steve Wozniak to Charles Darwin to Dr. Seuss. It's all across the board. These were quite introverted people. And I think that's something we can all learn from, actually. Our workplaces nowadays are not set up for solitude. They're set up for maximum teamwork. And I think we're really losing something in that.
Well, we talked a lot about leadership, and it's kind of clear to see now how an introvert can do well with leadership. Let's switch to public speaking a little bit. You told your story how you weren't very keen on public speaking to begin with, but you got yourself into it by modeling some people that that you appreciated their styles. Any other suggestions for people out there or listeners who are very quiet and reserved or introverted, but really do want to get their message across by public speaking?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I guess you characterized me as not having been keen on it, I think you said. I mean, it was way more dramatic than that. I was terrified of it.
Okay.
I would always lose weight before I spoke, because I couldn't eat before. You know, I couldn't sleep the night before. And so for anybody out there listening who feels that way and feels that kind of fear, what I'd say is, like, the reason something like Toastmasters is so helpful is that but really the only way through that fear is to desensitize yourself to it, which is a fancy way of saying, you know, keep on speaking, but to do it in very small, manageable doses in small supportive spaces, exactly like a Toastmasters. Because really what you need to do is kind of overcome the primal fear of being looked at. And you don't want to do that by throwing yourself into a situation where you're addressing 1,000 key employees or colleagues. Much better to do that in front of 10 fellow Toastmasters, where it doesn't really matter if you seem nervous,
right.
You know, because you can keep working on it. And there's really no substitute for that. I'd also say the other thing is just to master some of the basic techniques of public speaking. And I'm actually in the process now. I don't know how long it'll take, but I'm in the process of developing an online course in public speaking for introverts. So if you're curious about that and want to know more, you can come to my blog now and sign up for information, and I'll then let you know when the course is ready. And my blog is thepowerofintroverts.com. So if you go there, you'll find the place to sign up.
Great. You know, that's an interesting observation. I never really thought of Toastmasters as a form of cognitive therapy, but in a sense it is.
Yeah, that's absolutely. It really is.
Hmm.
I think it doesn't have the fancy name attached to it, but that's really what it is.
Right.
And I can tell you, too, you know, when I started talking about this at Toastmasters, it turned out almost everybody in my Toastmasters club said they were introverts. And I would guess that that's true at many Toastmasters clubs. You know, I think they're probably full of introverts who are deciding to, you know, kind of bravely deciding to conquer their fear, their discomfort.
Yeah. What do you think, Ryan? I would guess about 75% of all the clubs that I've been to, with the exception of our advanced club.
Mm.
But out of the regular clubs, 75% are more the introverts, the quiet people who are looking to kind of push through the envelope, whereas 25 people just love to talk and love and just want to get into any opportunity right. possible to do that.
Right. That seems about accurate.
Yeah.
Informal poll.
Yeah.
Susan, you mentioned your website, thepowerofintroverts.com. Could you share with our listeners both where they can find your book as well as what else can be found at thepowerofintroverts.com?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So my book, Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking, it's on sale pretty much everywhere. So you could go to your local bookstore. You could go to barnesandnoble.com. You could go to amazon.com. It's there. Other places where we can connect, my blog, as you said, it's thepowerofintroverts.com. And I have a whole bunch of articles up there, as well as the place where you can sign up for the online public speaking course. And and you can also find me on Twitter. My handle is @SusanCain. And I have an author page on the Facebook. I wish I remembered the URL for that, but if you just put in Susan Cain author, you'll find me up
Perfect.
On Facebook.
Great.
And love to hear from readers.
This has been fantastic, and I really enjoyed your TED speech. I mentioned to Ryan I saw it several months ago, and then I didn't even realize until 10 minutes ago that we were speaking to you. So it was a wonderful surprise for me.
How funny. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Susan, for my part, before I got the Toastmaster magazine, a couple of weeks before, I'd heard an interview on the radio with you and then checked out your video. So it was a nice surprise to see you in the magazine and, of course, now to have a chance to speak with you directly as well.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, I thank Toastmasters. I think that what your organization does for people around the world, it's really sensational. And I cannot even tell you how many times I have recommended to readers to join the organization. And I think a lot of them have.
That's great. Keep on doing it.
I will keep on doing it for sure.
All right. Susan, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Me too. Have a great day and a great holiday.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Susan.
Okay. Take care.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.